All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true!
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
They broke into my house, took nothing, and now I'm afraid to come home. You're telling me they didn't steal anything? Nothing at all. The man's bloodshot eyes had begun to glaze over. Flashing red and blue lights illuminated his face, cleaving through the thick darkness of my secluded front lawn. Maybe I should have lied. Well, no. I mean, I haven't exactly taken a full inventory of my stuff yet, but it doesn't seem like anything is missing. The cop cleared his throat, cutting me off. A loud, phlegm-steeped crackle emanated from the depths of his tree trunk-sized throat. Without taking a breath, he smoothly transitioned the sputtering noise into a series of follow-up questions.
Let me make sure I'm getting this right, buddy. You woke up to the sound of burglars just moving your furniture around? That's it? I'm supposed to believe that a raving band of renegade interior decorators broke into a... what? Open up a space a bit? Adjust the feng shui?
He looked over his shoulder and gave his partner an impish grin. The other officer, an older man with rows of cigarette-stained teeth, responded to his impromptu stand-up routine with a raspy croak, which was either a chuckle or a wheeze. I assumed chuckle, but he wasn't smiling, so it was hard to say for certain. My chest began to fill with an all-too-familiar heat. I forced a smile, fists clenched tightly at my sides. Let's try this one more time, I thought. I can't speak to their intent, sir, and that's not what I said. I didn't hear them move the furniture. I woke up to the sound of music playing downstairs. As I snuck over to the landing, I saw a flash, followed by a whirling noise. It startled me, so I stepped back and the floorboards creaked. The cop-turned comic appeared to drop the act. His smile fell away, and he started to jot something down in his notepad as I recounted the experience. I was relieved to be taken seriously. The rising inferno in my chest cooled, but didn't completely abate. It went from Mount Vesuvius moments before volcanic eruption to an overcooked microwave dinner, molten contents bubbling up against the plastic packaging. I guess they heard the creak because the music abruptly stopped. Then multiple sets of feet shuffled through the living room. By the time I got to the banister and looked over, though, they had vanished. That's when I noticed that all the furniture had been rearranged. I think they left through the back door because I found it unlocked. Must have forgotten to secure the damn thing.
Huh.
He said, staring at his notepad, scratching his chin and mulling it over. After a few seconds, he lifted the notepad up to his partner, who responded with an affirmative nod. What do you think? Has this happened to anyone else closer to town? I asked, impatient to learn what he had written.
No, probably not. He snorted. I have an important question, though.
His impish grin returned. Even the older cop's previously stoic lips couldn't help but twist into a tiny smirk.
What song was it?
Seething anger clawed at the back of my eyeballs. My dark star by the London suede, I replied automatically.
Huh, I don't know that one,
said the younger cop, clearly holding back a bout of uproarious laughter. In that moment, the worst part wasn't actually the utter disinterest and dismissal. It was that, like the cop, I had never listened to that song before last night. Didn't know any other tracks by the London Suede either. So for the life of me, I couldn't understand how those words spilled from my lips. I'd googled the track once they left. It was what I heard. Anyways, the cops then presented his notepad, tapping his pen against the paper. These were my guesses. In scribbled ink, it read, Bad Romance? ? The Macarena? ? It took restraint not to slap the notepad out of his hand. God, I wanted to, but it would have been counterproductive to add assaulting a lawman to my already long list of pending felonies. Criminality was how I landed myself out here in podunk corn country to begin with, nearly divorced and with a savings account emptier than church pews on December 26th. So, I settled for screaming a few questions of my own at the younger of the two men. For example, I inquired about the safety of this backcountry's town's tap water, speculating that high mercury levels must have irreparably damaged his brain as a child. Then I asked if his wife had suffered a similar fate. I figured there would be good odds that she also drank from the tap, given that she was likely his sister. Those weren't the exact words I yelled at those Neanderthals trudging back to their cruiser. But you get the idea. No matter how much bottom shelf whiskey I drank, sleep would not come. Once dawn broke, I gave up, rolled out of bed, and drunkenly stumbled downstairs to heave my furniture into its previous location. I didn't necessarily need to move it all. My plan was to only be in the two-story fixer-upper long enough to perform some renovations and make it marketable. In the meantime, I wasn't expecting company, and it wasn't like the intruders left my furnishings in an awkward pile at the center of the room. They shifted everything around, but it all remained usable. I couldn't stand the sight of it, though. It was a reminder that I had plain just didn't understand why anyone would break in to play music and move some furniture around. So, with some proverbial gas in the tank, two stale bagels, a cup of black coffee, additional whiskey, I got back to work. The quicker I returned to renovating, the quicker I could sell this godforsaken property. I purchased it way below market value, so I was poised to make a pretty penny off of it. Blair would eat her words. She'd see I could maintain our standard of living, even without my lucrative corporate position and the even more lucrative insider trading. It wouldn't be the same, but Thomas and her would be comfortable. After all, I was a man. I am a man. I deserved a family. More than that, I couldn't endure the thought of being even more alone. If that was even possible. How did they even get in without waking me up? I contemplated, struggling to haul my cheap leather sofa across the room, its legs audibly digging into walnut hardwood flooring. I dropped the sectional with a gasp as a sharp pain detonated in my lower back. The sofa slammed against the floor, and the sound of that collision reverberated through the relatively empty house.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Wayfair's big sale is returning. Get ready for Way Day. For 4 days only, score up to 80% off all things home with free shipping on everything. From October 26th through 29th, score Wayfair's best deals. Like up to 80% off area rugs, up to 60% off mattresses, up to 60% off bedroom furniture, and more exclusive doorbuster deals. So mark your calendar and shop Way Day starting October 26th at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Silence dripped back incriminately. Although the barbershop quartet of herniated vertebral discs stacked together in my lumbar spine continued to sing and howl.
Close enough,
I said out loud, panting between the words. My heart pounded and my head throbbed. Sobriety was tightening its skeletal hand around my neck. I was overdue for a dose of spirits to ward off that looming specter. I left the couch in the center of the cavernous room, positioned diagonally with its seats towards a massive gallery of windows present on the front of the house, rather than facing the TV. A coffee table and a love seat ended up sequestered tightly into the corner opposite the stairs, next to the hallway that led to the back door. Honestly, the arrangement looked much more insane after I tried to fix it because I stopped halfway through. I figured I could make another attempt after a drink. So, the sweet lure of ethanol drew my feet forward, and that's when I noticed it. A small, unassuming square of plastic peeking out from under the couch. I didn't know exactly where it came from. Perhaps it was hidden underneath something initially, or maybe I dislodged it from a sofa crease as I moved it. Honestly, I'd tried to walk past it without looking, but the combination of dread and curiosity is a potent mixture. Powerful enough to even quiet my simmering alcohol withdrawal. With one hand bracing the small of my aching back, the other picked it up and flipped it over. It was a Polaroid. The sofa was centered in the frame, and it was the dead of night. When I arrived 2 weeks ago, I had the movers place the sofa against the wall. That wasn't where it was in the picture. I could tell because the moon was visible through the massive windows above the group of people sitting in it. At least, I think it was a group of people. I mean, the silhouettes were undoubtedly people-shaped. But I couldn't see any of their details. The picture wasn't poorly taken or blurry. It was well lit, too. I could appreciate the subtle ridges in the furniture's wooden armrests, as well as the splotchy wine stain present on the upholstery. The flash perfectly illuminated everything, except for them. Their frames were just dark and jagged, like they had been scratched out with a pencil from within the picture. It was hard to tell where one form ended and another began. They overlapped, their torsos and arms congealing with each other. Taken together, they looked like an oversized accordion comprised of many segmented human-looking shadows. Not only that, but there was something intensely unnerving about the proportions of the picture. The sofa appeared significantly larger. I counted the heads. I recounted them because I couldn't believe the number I came up with. 34. My hands trembled. A bout of nausea growled in my stomach. Then, out of nowhere, a violent, searing pain exploded over the tips of my fingers where they were making contact with the Polaroid. It felt similar to a burn, but that wasn't exactly it. More like the stinging sensation of putting an ungloved hand into a mound of snow. The Polaroid fell out of my grasp. As it drifted towards the floor, I heard something coming from the hallway that led to the house's back door. A distant melody that I had only heard once before last night, and yet I knew it by heart. But she will come from India with a love in her eyes. Say that, oh, how my dark star will rise. Oh, how my dark star, oh, how my dark star. Oh, how my dark star will rise. Terror left me frozen. I listened without moving an inch. By the time it ended, I was drenched in sweat, my skin coated in a layer of icy brine. After a brief pause, the song just started over again. My head became filled with visions. A group of teenagers right outside the back door. Maybe the same ones who had broken in last night, playing the song and laughing under their breaths. Maybe the cop was there too, having been in on the entire scheme. Perhaps Blair hired them to harass me. The custody hearing was only weeks away. The more unstable I was, the more likely she'd get full custody of Thomas. They were all out to prove I was a pathetic, wasted mess. Of course, that was all paranoid nonsense, and none of that accounted for the Polaroid. I stomped around the couch, past the other furniture, down the narrow hallway, and wildly swung the door open. "Who the fuck are?" My scream quickly collapsed. I stood on the edge of the first of three rickety steps that led into the backyard, scanning for the source of the song. A few birds cawed and rustled in the pine trees that circled the house's perimeter, no doubt startled by my tantrum. Otherwise, nature was still, and no one was there. My fury dissipated. Logic found its way back to me. Why was I expecting anyone to be there? The nearest house was a half a mile away. Blair wouldn't hire anyone to torment me in such an astoundingly peculiar way either. For one, she wasn't creative enough, and two, she wasn't truly malicious. My former affluence was the foundation of our marriage. I knew that ahead of time. Once it was gone, of course, she wanted out. Before I could spiral into the black pits of self-loathing, a familiar hideaway, my ears perked. The song was still playing. It sounded closer now. But it wasn't coming from outside the house like I thought. Laundry room, bathroom, guest room. Laundry room, bathroom, guest room. No matter how much I racked my brain, nothing was coming to mind. You see, there was three rooms that split off from the hallway that led to the backyard. From the perspective of the back door, the laundry room and the bathroom were on the left, and the guest room was on the right, directly across from the laundry room. Maybe I'm just forgetting the layout. I haven't been here that long after all. I remembered there being three rooms, but I was looking at four doors, and the muffled sounds of my dark star were coming from the room I couldn't remember. My palm lingered on the doorknob. Despite multiple commands, my hand wouldn't obey. I couldn't overcome my fear. Eventually, though, I found a mantra that did the trick. Three little words that had bedeviled humanity since its conception. A universal fuel, having ignited the smallest of brutalities to the most pervasive, wide-reaching atrocities over our shared history. Be a man, be a man, be a man. My hand twisted, and I pushed the door open. The room was tiny, no more than 200 square feet by my estimation. Barren, too. There was nothing inside except the flaking yellow wallpaper and the unmistakable odor of mold, damp and earthy.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
But I could still hear my dark star clearer than ever before. The sound was rough and crackling, like it was being played from vinyl that was littered with innumerable scratches. I tiptoed inside. It was difficult to pinpoint precisely where the song was coming from, so I put an ear to each wall and listened. When I placed my head on the wall farthest from the door, I knew I was getting close. The tone was sharper. The lyrics were crisp and punctuated. I could practically feel the plaster vibration along with the bass. I stepped back to fully examine the wall, trying to and failing to comprehend the phenomena. There was barely any hollow space behind it. Not enough to fit a sound system or a record player, that's for certain. If I took a sledgehammer to the plaster, I would just create a hole looking out into the backyard. I stared at the decaying wallpaper, dumbfounded. I dragged my eyes over the crumbling surface again and again, but no empathy came. All the while, the song kept looping. On what must have been the 20th re-examination, my gaze finally hooked into something new. There was a faint sliver of darkness that ran the length of the wall from ceiling to floor next to the corner of the room. A crack of sorts. I cautiously walked towards it. Every step closer seemed to make the crack expand. Once my eyes were nearly touching it, the crevice had stretched from the width of a sheet of paper to that of a shot glass. Somehow, I wasn't fearful. My time in that false room had a dreamlike quality to it. surreal to the point where it disarmed me. Like it all wasn't real, so I could wake up at any moment, safe and sound. The edges of the fissure rippled, vibrating like a plucked guitar string. Soon after, I felt light tapping on the top of my boots. I tilted my head down. Essentially, the wall coughed up a dozen more Polaroids. They settled harmlessly at my feet. The ones that landed picture up were nearly identical to the one I discovered in the living room, with small exceptions. Less scratched out people, a different couch, more stars visible through the windows in the backyard, to name a few examples. The overturned Polaroids had dates written on them in red Sharpie, the nearest to which being September of 1996. When I shifted my head back to the crevice, I found it had expanded further. I stared into the black maw as my dark star faded out once again, and I could see something. There were hundreds of Polaroids wedged deeper within the wall, and the gap had grown nearly big enough for me to fit my head through. Long belated panic stampeded over my skin, each nerve buzzing with savage thunder. I turned and bolted, flinging the door shut behind me.
Fuck this shit!
Racing through the narrow hallway, I peered over my shoulder, concerned that I was being chased. Nothing was in pursuit, but there had been a change. Now there were only three total doors: laundry room, bathroom, guest room. I have a hard time recalling the following handful of hours. It's all a haze. I know I considered leaving. I remember sobbing. I very much remember drinking. I tried to call Blair, but when I heard Thomas's voice pick up the line, I immediately hung up, mind shatteringly embarrassed. I didn't call the police, for obvious reasons. The order in which all happened remains a bit of a mystery to me, but in the end, I suppose it doesn't really matter. Here's the bottom line. I drank enough to pass out. When the stupor abated and my eyes lurched open, I found myself on a sofa propped upright. Not angled in the middle of the room where I left mine either. This one had its back to the windows. The scene I awoke to was more perplexing than it was hellish. The living room was absolutely saturated with objects I didn't recognize. Knickknacks, framed photos, watercolor paintings, ornamented mirrors. A citrusy aroma wafted through the air, floral but acidic. There was the sounds of living chatter around me. But as I sat up and glanced around, I didn't see anyone. Not a soul. I was about to stand up, but I heard the click of a record player needle connecting with vinyl. The sharp noise somehow rooted me to the fabric. My dark star began playing in the background. When I turned forward, there he was, materialized from God knows where. He appeared older than me by a decade or so, maybe in his late 50s. The man sported a cheap, ill-fitting blue checkered suit jacket with black chinos. His face held a warm smile and a pair of those New Year's Eve novelty glasses, blue eyes peeking through the circles of the two number nines in 1995. The figure stared at me, lifted a finger to the corner of his mouth, and waited. I knew what he wanted. Without thinking, I obliged. I smiled too. He nodded, brought a camera up to his lips, and snapped a Polaroid. The flash of light was blinding. For a few seconds, all I could see was white. Screams erupted around me, erasing the pleasant racket of the party. Then I heard the roaring crackle of a fire. Slowly, my whiteout faded. The claymore of death quieted in tandem. My surroundings returned to normal, too. No more knickknacks or family photos, just a vacant, depressing, unrenovated home. The man was also gone, but something replaced him. Like the scratched-out people, it was human-shaped, but it had much more definition. A 7-foot-tall, thickly-built stick figure looming motionless in front of me. If there was a person under there, I couldn't tell. If it had skin, I couldn't see it. All I could appreciate were the Polaroids. Thousands of nearly identical images seemed to form its body. They jutted out of the entity at chaotic-looking angles, reptilian scales that had become progressively overcrowded, each one now fighting to maintain a tenuous connection to the flesh hidden somewhere underneath. It didn't have fingers. Instead, the plastic squares formed a kind of rudimentary claw. 2/3 down the arms, its upper extremities bifurcated into a pair of saucer-shaped, plate-sized digits. I watched as the right arm curved towards its belly. The motion was rigid and mechanical, and was accompanied by the squeaking of plastic rubbing against plastic. It grasped a single picture at the tip of its claw, assumably the one that had just been taken. The one that included me. When it got close, a cluster of photographs on its torso began to rumble and shake.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
Seconds later, a long black tongue slithered out between the cramped folds. The tongue writhed over the new picture, manically licking it until it was covered in gray-yellow saliva. Then, the tongue receded back into its abdomen, like an earthworm into the soil. Once it had vanished, the entity creaked its right arm at the elbow so it could reach its chest, pushing the Polaroid against its sternum. The claw pulled back and it stuck. Another for the collection. An icy grip clamped down on my wrist. I turned my head. There was a scratched-out, colorless hand over mine. My eyes traced the appendage up to its origin, but they didn't need to. I already knew what I was about to see. The sofa seemed to stretch on for miles. Countless scratched-out heads turned to face me, creating a wave down the line. Everyone wanted to see the newcomer, even the oldest shadows at the very, very end. I didn't feel terror. I experienced a medley of distinct sensations, but none of them were negative. Peace, comfort, fulfillment, safety, appreciation, love. Ever since the Polaroid snapped, I've been smiling. I can't stop. Blair, I hope you see this. The door is fully open for me now, and I may not return. You could have everything. The house, the money, the cars. You could keep Thomas too. I don't need you. I don't need him. I don't need any of it. I've found my unconditional love. I hope someday you find it too. If you ever need to find me, well, you know where to go. But I'll tell you when to go. 11:58 p.m. every night. If you decide to come out here, bring Thomas. Gregor would love to meet him.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.